cost of care.
Okay, I think we're getting the same thing here from the Republican response that we have been hearing for a while. We will try to monitor that and come back at you if there's anything new and notable in that speech. That was Congressman Charles Bustani of Louisiana responding to the speech of Barack Obama that just finished up, the joint session. You're listening to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike all week long. We've got a bunch of guests coming up to discuss the speech tonight. We also want to hear your opinions on it. Our number is 877-520-1150. That's not the normal Mike Malloy number. It's our number out here in Los Angeles at K-Talk AM 1150, where we're broadcasting from beautiful, sunny downtown Burbank. And we will have special coverage all night long of the Obama speech. We'll be able to bring you some clips in the coming hours as Tony Sorrentino here scrambles to put them together and engineer the show at the same time. Much appreciated, my friend. We will be joined momentarily, by the way, by Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress to get his thoughts. He's also a contributor to Howard Dean's book on healthcare reform. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Howie Klein in studio of Down with Tyranny and a great blogger over to Huffington Post. David Dayen, who you may know as D-Day from his blog D-Day, from Digby's blog Hullabaloo, from Calitix, he'll be joining us. Dave Johnson from Seeing the Forest. And, of course, as I say, your calls, your thoughts, your feedback on Obama's speech tonight. Let me hit just a couple of points that he hit throughout this speech, and then we'll bring in Igor Volsky to kick things off. He opened by saying that he is not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last, he vowed. We'll see if he's right about that. He hit a lot of the, he spent quite a bit of time responding to critics, to the talking points coming from the Republican side, saying that it's essentially disinformation that's been sent out to people and that we can't afford to not take action. He says, quote, instead of honest debate, we have seen scare tactics. Some have dug into unyielding ideological camps that offer no hope of compromise. Too many have used this as an opportunity to score short-term political points, even if it robs the country of our opportunity to solve a long-term challenge. He covered a lot of the false talking points, really, that have been used by the right. And he said, and he spelled out his plan that he says has three basic goals. Essentially, first, he says that if you're among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, through Medicare, Medicaid, or the VA, nothing will require you or your employer to change that coverage. Republicans, of course, have said that eventually folks will be forced for some reason to change their coverage, that employers will give up medical insurance for their employees if there's another option available. I'm going to ask Igor Volsky about that, and we'll talk more about that tonight. He said that there needs to be a public option. Now, he didn't demand it. He didn't say that it must be there. He did not say he would veto anything that didn't have a public option. But he says that that's important. And he also argues that this plan of his, whatever it may be, there's four or five different ones in the Senate, there's another one in the House, that it will actually lower the deficit, which you heard just a minute ago, the Republican response said that it's going to increase the deficit. Who's telling the truth? I don't know. But actually, during the speech, someone at some point yelled out lie. Right in the middle of the speech. I'm not sure. It might have been Glenn Beck. What, do you have that clip? You got? Let's see if we can hear what he was talking about. The illegal, that's right. He was talking about illegal immigration and that, that illegal immigrants would not get health care.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Not true.
So I don't know who that was who yelled out lie. I suspect we'll be hearing more about that and hearing who yelled that out in the middle of a joint session to Congress. Where was it you said, Tony? Taiwan, where they actually get in there and punch each other out? Yeah, we could use some more of that. Anyway, so he's, and in fact, of course, I think he's right. Why would illegal immigrants, for example, from Mexico, want to come here for health care? They already got government health care back there in Mexico. All right, well, all of this is straight ahead. We're going to get into the details. We're going to break it down. We're going to hear from you, as I say, 877-520-1150. You can also stop by bradblog.com. We've got the chat room open. It's going to be open all night long. Agent 99 is going to be your lovely host there, reminding you who our guests are as they come on and trying to open the doors for you. We'd love to hear your conversation over there, over here. Anywhere you'd like to be. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress and begin digging into these details and seeing if, in fact, Barack Obama has turned a corner, has made a difference here, is figured out a way to get the support he needs. So we got a lot to talk about. Substance and politics, all straight ahead on your public airwaves with me, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Mike Malloy all night long. Give us a shout, 877-520-1150. We want to hear from you much, much more all night long right after this.
Listen to the engine.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, broadcasting from Los Angeles. Our phones are filling up, but we're going to hit them pretty soon, so stick with us. 877-520-1150. We're talking about, we are live tonight, just finished up with the Obama joint address to, or the address to the joint session of Congress, and we're going to go over to Igor Volsky and start, first we're going to start with the substance of the speech, what he had to say, what his plan was as he laid it out. We're going to get into the politics of it all as it goes on, and as I say, your calls, and, well, whatever the hell else comes up. Igor Volsky is a healthcare researcher, blogger at the Center for American Progress, focusing on healthcare issues. He's also a contributor to Howard Dean's prescription for healthcare reform, how we can achieve affordable medical care for every American and make our jobs safer. Welcome back to the Malloy Show, Igor. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brad. So it sure sounds like Republicans confused the address to Congress for the town hall because based on their reaction, yeah, that's how they treated it.
Well,
it's just shocking, their behavior. We now think that the person who yelled, "It's a lie," when he talked about health care reform, not including illegal immigrants, was Representative Joe Wilson from South Carolina. As you saw, also several of them were holding up their health care plans. There are about five of them, five Republican alternatives, so-called, that were holding them up when he was talking about bipartisanship.
Is that what that was? Somebody else was also holding a sign that said something, but I couldn't tell what it said.
I think the sign said, "What bill?" I suppose asking the question, "Do you have a bill, Mr. President?" You know, this was really, I think, shocking, not in its context, not in its substance, but in the way the other side behaved. It seems like that August environment kind of bled into September, don't you think?
I don't think I recall seeing that kind of reaction, certainly where somebody yells out lie like that at a joint session of Congress.
Could you imagine what they would do if any of the Democrats did that to President Bush? Yeah. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. They arrested Cindy Sheehan for wearing a T-shirt during one of contests there. It was amazing. And the response afterwards, from what I could tell, that short Republican response seemed to be a complete contradiction from what Obama had just said moments before, talking about the deficit, promising that this would not raise the deficit one dime and that he would veto it if it would. They put things in the bill that guaranteed that it did not. But before we get there, let's just hit these sort of three major points, Igor. He said basically it was a three-pronged plan that he was pushing for here. Can you help us detail what those three pieces were? The first one with those who have insurance and so forth.
Sure. They released the plan, those parts of the speech a couple of hours before the address, and I have to say when I first read those excerpts, I was rather disappointed. There's nothing new in his plan. Everything that he has proposed is in one of the bills before Congress, one of the Democratic bills. So for those who already have insurance, mm-hmm. he would institute insurance reforms that would prohibit insurance companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions, from rescinding coverage once your medical bills come in. So in a way, this kind of makes sure that Americans have safe and secure coverage, that they're not at the mercy of health insurers.
And that's up for contention. Even the Republicans, I think, want to do away with the pre-existing conditions and bring in those reforms. Do they not?
They do. The counter speech mentioned it, mm-hmm. and of course, the president said that this was John McCain's idea to make sure that insurers don't discriminate in pre-existing conditions. So this was in the part of the speech you're right, where he was calling for bipartisanship and said that there's no debate there. Then we get into another part, which is what you do with the uninsured. You know, many Republicans scoff at the idea that there are 47 million uninsured, which is what the census tells us, about 45, 47 million, because they think many of those so-called uninsured are young people who just aren't buying coverage because they think they're invisible or they're illegal immigrants. And so they try to kind of chip away at that number.
Mm-hmm.
He said in his plan that if you're one of those people who are uninsured, and statistics tell us that about 80% of the uninsured are working Americans who can't afford coverage. So if you don't have coverage from your employer or you're a small business, you can enter what's called an exchange, this new marketplace where private insurers compete for your business alongside a public plan, possibly.
Now, was that marketplace, Igor, let me just get a question in. Was that marketplace he talked about, that's not the co-op option that they've been talking about, right? This is something else.
That's right. That is not a co-op option. An exchange is something that has, again, broad bipartisan support, like the insurance reforms, is actually proposed. I don't know if they came up with this idea, but Heritage, of all think tanks, was pushing the idea of an exchange for many, many years. It's the way federal employees receive health care coverage, including members of Congress. They have what's called a federal employer benefits plan, where they enter into their own special exchange, and then they have private insurers that offer them coverage. So a very similar idea.
Okay. Hold the thought.
Not controversial.
Hold the thought, Igor. I was speaking with Igor Volsky about the president's speech. Igor is from the Center for American Progress. Also curious how this plan is, if it looks like the Howard Dean's prescription for real health care reform that you contributed to. We'll find out about that and take your calls. A whole hell of a lot more show straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. We'll be back right after this. Stick with us. Graham covering President Barack Obama's speech to the joint session of Congress on health care. Did he turn the page? Did he close the deal? I don't know. We're going to be talking about it all night, taking your calls. The lines are filling up, so we're going to get to them shortly. 877-520-1150. Speaking with Igor Volsky right now. Howie Klein and David Dayen, D-Day, is going to be joining us in a bit, along with some other folks. Igor Volsky is from the Center for American Progress. And, oh, I still got him here. So, Igor, he talked about some on the left want a single-payer option, some on the right only want minor reform to the private companies. And he's trying to thread that needle down the middle with a public option, but he clearly didn't say that he was going to veto a bill if it didn't have a public option. Oh, do we still have Igor? There we go. Now we've got Igor. Sorry about that.
The public option piece I thought was most interesting. Of course, we heard lots of talk about what is he going to say. Is he going to endorse the public option and side with the progressives in his party? Or is he going to kind of give in to some of this overblown criticism that we've been hearing from the right, the notion that a public option would crowd out private insurance and kind of become a Trojan horse for single-payer health care? And you're right, he didn't take a side. He defended the public option. He said we need it to make sure that insurers are held accountable. But then he emphasized its limited scope. He said that only some people would be eligible for the public option, which is true. But he bought into this Republican notion that if more people sign up, that if a public option becomes larger, has more market share, is able to really be a market player and bargain for lower rates with providers, that that's somehow a bad thing. And I think that's really one of the problems, is that without specifically taking a side, openly taking a side on the public option, he really kind of smacked progressives across the face and said that a public option is important, but we can meet these goals in other ways. And, of course, he talked about the trigger. He talked about building a network of cooperatives, which is what Baucus has in the plan he just released. So I would have liked to see stronger language in the section on the public option. It looks like he really fed into that Republican frame that a public option, a large public option, is a problem. But it's only a problem for private insurers.
And
it's
he
not
said,
a problem for Americans.
Yeah, and of course he said that, whether it's true or not, I don't know, that the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, estimates that less than 5% of Americans would sign up for that public option, and yet this has been a big Republican talking point where they've said that, if you make any public option available, everyone is going to have to go get it because employers are going to start dropping, health insurance for their employees. Is there truth to that? You know, it's difficult to separate the nonsense from the serious concerns. Is there truth that if there is a public option, employers will start dropping these health insurance plans, knowing that their employees can go get that public option?
Well, not really. If employers stop dropping their plans, which we don't see happening because you'll have an employer mandate requiring large employers to provide health coverage for their workers, it's something the president endorsed in his speech. So the employer mandate really keeps large employers from dropping coverage. The question is small businesses. They're given a tax credit to incentivize employer-based coverage. Again, the president wants to build, as he said tonight, he wants to build on the existing system. So I don't think there's any truth. He's right when he says that the CBO found only about 5%, about 10 million Americans, after 10 years will be in the public option. But again, I want to stress that he could have said that the public option will save the government about $76 billion to $150 billion over 10 years. It will save the government money in subsidies, because the way subsidies are determined in the exchange is you average the three lowest plans, the price of the three lowest plans, and then you determine how much the government gives to the people who qualify for subsidies. So the lower the premium in the public option, the lower the subsidy, the lower the price tag of reform. That's I want to see a stronger case. He kind of sat back and, again, absorbed some of the Republican talking points and spoke of the public option as simply just another part of his proposal. It is a small part, but it's a very important part.
Well, it is, and so he was not strong on the public option. What he was strong on was what he didn't want, and I suspect progressives are not going to be happy about this. Tony, I don't know if you have this clip queued up, the single payer, what he said. He pretty much just wiped single payer right off the map. He said the left, essentially, you got that one queued up there, Tony? Some on the left want single payer, some on the right. You happen to have that? All right. You can run it whenever you got. He essentially.
Now, there are those on the left who believe that the only way to fix the system is through a single payer system like Canada's, where we would severely restrict the private insurance market and have the government provide coverage for everybody. On the right, there are those who argue that we should end employer-based systems and leave individuals to buy health insurance on their own. I have to say that there are arguments to be made for both these approaches. But either one would represent a radical shift that would disrupt the health care most people currently have.
Okay, now, Igor Volsky, did he actually, I have not heard this argument from the Republicans that they say we should end employer-based insurance and send people out into the free marketplace. Is that a false dichotomy there, putting up single payer against this crazy scheme that we should end all employer-based plans?
Well, I don't know if Republicans are overtly arguing for ending employer-based coverage, but certainly a policy goal during the 2008 campaign. Senator McCain, what he did was he equalized the tax treatment between employer-based coverage and if you go out and buy coverage on your own, which would have effectively had had the consequence of unraveling the employer-based system because younger people would leave large employer pools, the costs for the people who are left behind would increase, and eventually employers would drop coverage. So I think most conservatives want to see Americans go up on their own against large private insurers and want to put employers out of the business of providing coverage. I don't think he was wrong there. But I think that that kind of rhetoric is his attempt to say that, look, despite what you heard in August, this isn't a radical plan. This is actually the great compromise.
I understand that, but it kind of ticks me off, and I suspect it's going to tick off the folks in the Progressive Caucus that he put up the single payer plan. John Conyers and Kucinich and so forth have the HR 676 in the House, where they're still fighting for that single payer plan. Obviously, it's likely to not move forward, but it's certainly not going to move forward after what the president said tonight, where he just essentially threw it away along with the most far-right cockamamie Republican plan,
You're absolutely right in the sense that the extreme right-wing version of individuals are on their own, it exists nowhere else in the world, because I think other countries understand that the extreme free market version of healthcare simply doesn't work, because healthcare isn't a regular commodity, all the regular free market rules don't apply to it. So I think you're right. I think it was a little disingenuous, but I think it was his effort again to say that you have to build on what you currently have. But if you look at the history of how other nations got to universal coverage, they built on the existing system.
Yeah, and of course he went on to say that both of these approaches, we can't start over from scratch now to build an entirely new system. And that is precisely what those of you in Congress have tried to do over the past several months. So he's trying to thread that needle. We've been highly critical, of course, so far here. So, and a lot of the callers on the line are as well. So let me grab someone who liked what the president had to say, and we'll find out why. Let's go to Tony in Los Angeles. You liked the speech, eh, Tony?
Yeah, I did. I think, with the two of you guys, I totally understand where you're coming from, what's going on. But you got to realize you're talking to the average Joe American person.
Yeah.
You all are highly informed. You totally understand. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what did he say to you that you liked, Tony?
I liked all of it because basically he did put the Republicans on blast. I still think he did.
Okay.
You know, and the fact of the matter, when you look at it strategically, he took the wind out of all of their sails because he explained all the points that they made and put it on blast. So therefore, if you keep harboring on that same thing, you look stupid.
All right.
You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
The fact of the matter is the average Joe doesn't know what you guys know.
Fair enough.
All
right. I appreciate the call, Tony. Thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Well, did that speech, Igor, appeal to, you know, not the policy wonks like you and me and Howie Klein, who just walked in the studio? We're getting him geared up. Did this appeal to middle America to finally say, yeah, this makes sense? These August Tea Parties were crazy people, and I'm fine with the President of the United States. I'm with him.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It was certainly one of the goals he had to meet to appeal to Americans to kind of get them out of this August mood of lies and distortions and talk about reframe the reason why we need health care reform. And he framed it in this context of Americana. He brought up Senator Kennedy's letter that he wrote to him once he was diagnosed with brain cancer, that we really need health care reform. It's kind of the great last battle of his career. Certainly had a lot of emotional appeal, especially when they showed pictures of the Kennedy family, Kennedy family sitting there. So I think absolutely he hit all the right emotional notes. I think, again, you contrast that with the way Republicans behave themselves, and it's really, really shocking when you have 14,000 Americans losing coverage every single day, and they're calling the president a liar and holding up their own plans and wearing signs around their necks. I mean, where does where the bipartisanship stands, and I don't think it stands anywhere.
Oh, yeah, there's no bipartisanship. There is no center. I'm constantly amused when we talked about appealing to the centrists. There is no center anymore, as far as I'm concerned. Let me get to... let's see, where am I here? Mark in Irving, Texas. He also doesn't, I guess, didn't like the speech, but for a different reason. Mark, what's your question for Igor Volsky?
Yes, the president said that Alabama, for instance, 90% of their people were under the coverage of one insurance company.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a young business student in school, and we spoke about this today. We freely trade with other countries in other areas. Why can't we trade just across state lines to open up some competitive business?
I think it's good.
Driving down the prices a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. The Republicans have been hammering on this. Let's get Igor's thoughts on this. Thanks for the call, Mark. Your thoughts? Is that not a part of his plan, opening this up for competition across state lines?
It is. In fact, under his plan, you would have a national exchange where insurers would go in and compete for Americans from all over, from across the 50 states. Several of the bills have regional alliances that would allow, kind of interstate competition that way. But I think the difference is what the president's trying to do and what the Democrats are trying to do is they want to make sure that competition is regulated, that it's managed, that insurers compete based on quality of care, not based on attracting the healthiest individuals and leaving the sick uninsured, which is what McCain proposed in 2008. His version of interstate competition allowed insurers to circumvent the consumer protections that each individual state has because these things are regulated by the states. So it would have allowed insurers to sell policies across state lines, to relocate in states where there are no consumer protections, to lure young, healthy folks from larger insurance pools into those cheaper policies, and to leave the states with the tough consumer regulations, the states that require insurers to provide maternity care, well, child care, cancer screenings, to leave them with the sickest Americans, the Americans who actually need care. And, of course, those costs would increase and skyrocket.
So, Igor,
so
if I'm...
that worked for anyone.
If Igor, so then if I'm clear, that marketplace he was talking about would essentially do away with the being able to go across state lines to select your insurance option, correct?
Well, the marketplace that Obama's talking about
right.
would establish an interstate market called the exchange, where, again, a person from Illinois, a person from New York, could all come to the national exchange and purchase coverage.
Okay, I got to get out for a quick break. Igor Volsky is online. I'm Brad, in from Illinois. Howie Klein is going to be joining us in a second. Your calls, 520-877-520-1150. Okay, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Tonight, with our special coverage of the Obama speech, we are going to be, we've got Igor Volsky here for just one more segment. Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny and Huffington Post is going to be joining us. D-Day is going to be coming up in a bit. And more of your calls. Actually, why don't we get one more call before you have to jump out? Igor, sound okay?
Sure.
All right, Igor from Center for American Progress. All right, let's go to Glenda in Claremont, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, Glenda?
Hi, Brad.
Hi there.
And thanks for filling in for Mike.
My pleasure.
I have to say that when the dim-witted Dems and the Blue Dogs took the Universal or Medicare for All off the table, they killed any plan of real health reform. And to mandate that everybody has to buy insurance, as far as I'm concerned, that's just legalized extortion.
Is there a mandate, Igor, in this plan?
There is. There's both an individual mandate and an employer mandate.
That's right. And they also, he did not explain that the public will be fined 2.5% on their income taxes if they do not purchase health insurance. And without the public auction, that's option, that simply is hurting people into the same old racketeers that have been gouging everybody. Second of all, that fine can go up to 8% for businesses. Another thing that he said, and I'm very upset that he did not say that he would not accept a plan without at least the public option, but this whole thing basically should be scrapped. This is going to turn out to be worse than leaving it alone. And just one more thing, and that is he said over and over again that they were going to pay for a lot of this out of the fraud and waste in Medicare, but without ever talking about it, except I understand a few tests. The doctors are the ones, except if they're running too many tests, then that should be a red flag. But the doctors, are, what are we going to have? A government commissioner who's going to decide, just like the insurance people right now, how many tests the doctors can run. Another thing he said that in taking away money from the fraud and waste in Medicare, that's how he's going to pay or get the drug prescription charges down, but he's already made a secret deal with Big Pharma behind closed doors.
All good points, Glenda. Very good. You get your own show here. Thanks for that call, Glenda. Your thoughts on hers, and we just got about a minute left here in this hour, Igor.
Well, I think those fines sound right. I think she's generally correct in the point she makes. Sadly, again, this is another reason why we need a public option, because we don't want to require Americans to purchase coverage and reward those private insurers who got us into this mess in the first place, who have created all the cost shifts because they refuse to provide coverage for so many people because premiums have increased.
But is the plan, and we've only got 30 seconds, Igor, is the plan at this point troubled enough that, like Glenda says, it should be scrapped, thrown out, start over with single payer or something else?
No, absolutely not. The plan that he has proposed that's before Congress will help millions and millions of Americans who are struggling to afford coverage and who don't have coverage. So it's not perfect, but we shouldn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Fair enough. Igor Volsky of the Center for American Progress, much appreciate your thoughts here jumping in. Great job as always. I can tell you Howie Klein was nodding in appreciation of almost everything Glenda had to say. So we're going to talk with him coming up next. Also, D-Day, Howie Klein's opened up a blog called glenda.blogspot.com. He loves her so much. Thanks for everything you do, Igor. Always glad to have you there at our beck and call.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, much more ahead on the Mike Malloy Show. Man, that hour flew by. A whole bunch ahead, plus your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy.